Hi everyone. I will call to order the June 6th meeting of the City of Kirkland Design Review Board, and we'll begin with roll call.
Randall Brand.
Present.
Brad Brown.
Here.
Carlos Castaneda.
Here.
Ting Chen.
Here.
Shoshana Cohen. Tyler Smith. Amy Tars.
Here.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Okay, we have no minutes to read and or approve tonight. So I'll go ahead and announce the agenda. So tonight is the continuance of the May 2nd meeting to discuss the Polaris at Tarkham Lake project file number DRB22 slash 00228 to discuss the applicant's proposal as it relates to the design guidelines of the Tarkham Lake Business District. Now is the time for any members of the public audience who wish to speak on any items that are not related to tonight's agenda. Do we have anybody in the list?
Yes, we do, Carlos, but I think they're gonna probably want to speak as part of the Polaris project.
Okay. Well, there being none that are not related to the agenda, let's just dive right into the project. I'll turn it to Oif to begin the presentation.
Thank you. Okay, I'm just gonna share my screen here.
And Aoife, while you're getting ready there, if there is an opportunity for me to just do a 2 or 3 minute just project update before Dane takes over on the design side, I'd appreciate that if we have time this evening.
Yeah, maybe you can follow my presentation after my presentation. And if the board have any questions, then John, we can jump into your side.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So assuming you can see the screen okay.
Yes.
Minimize this. Okay, so good evening, everybody. My name is Aoife Blake. I'm an associate planner at the City of Kirkland. And this evening we're here for the continuance of the conceptual design conference for Polaris at Totem Lake. So this is the subject property highlighted here. In red, it is located in the Totem Lake neighborhood at 12335 120th Avenue Northeast, just west of the 405. The site is currently occupied by a one-story car dealership with associated surface parking, and the property has frontage along 120th Avenue Northeast, which is designated as a minor arterial, a major pedestrian sidewalk, and is part of the circulator, a landscaped boulevard within the Totem Lake Business District. Surrounding the property to the north and to the south are sites with the same zoning, TL4B, with maximum height allowed up to 75 feet above average building elevation, depending on the uses proposed. To the east is WashDOT right-of-way associated with the 405. And then to the west of the site is the TL10A zone, which is an office zone where the maximum height is 55 feet above average building elevation. Just to have a quick overview of the permitting process for this project, we are here in the design review phase. Design review has two parts: conceptual design conference, which we are here tonight for and had a meeting on May 2nd for, and then the design response conference, which could be made up of a number of meetings which will be noticed to the public. The project is also required to go through a SEPA review, which is an environmental review. This process looks at environmental impacts of the project, including things like traffic, noise, those kind of issues. And finally, the project also will be required to get their grading and building permits. The applicant is proposing to construct two buildings connected by a podium that are approximately 8 stories above grade, containing 442 housing units, 15,000 square feet of interior amenity space, and 4,000 square feet of commercial space, and a partially below grade parking garage. Vehicular access is proposed from 120th Avenue Northeast via an access easement over the property to the south of the site. So as I mentioned, on May 2nd, we had the first conceptual design conference. At that meeting, the board requested the applicant present additional massing concepts that incorporate greater modulation to the building form, break up the mass of the building, particularly along 120th Avenue Northeast, and create a better scale to the pedestrian and the environs. And the applicant has provided additional massing options for the site and further refines their preferred massing option in response to the board's concerns. So here are the key zoning regulations that relate to this project. And two I'd like to point out to you tonight are related to the permitted uses. In this zone, the street level floor of the residential buildings are required to have commercial uses, the minimum depth of 20 feet and an average depth of at least 30 feet. The board has the authority to approve a minor reduction in these depth requirements, subject to some criteria, but I'm not aware that the applicant is seeking any modification to this at this time. And the other item is open space. The development is required to provide publicly accessible spaces at the primary pedestrian frontage that extends the public realm while creating a transition between public and private spaces. There are some specific dimensions in the zoning code for this space, and more information will be provided at the design response conference. But this item is required by the zoning code and part of the design review approval. And the board does have the authority to require or modify or permit modifications to this space. So tonight we would like the applicant and the board to discuss the physical and built environment on and around the subject property, including things like height of neighboring structures, topography and landscaping, and any opportunities or constraints of the site, given things like streetscape, urban form, activities and uses in the area, pedestrian patterns, character of adjacent buildings, and landscaping and open space. We would also like the board to review the project in relation to the Totem Lake Business District guidelines, with particular emphasis on key design issues or design techniques that should be addressed with this project. Some of them are listed out here, for example, scale. The board should discuss the scale of the building, both human scale and architectural scale. Is building massing a concern with the project? And if so, the board should identify some appropriate mitigation techniques. The board should also discuss the building location and orientation identified in the massing options and identify any blank walls and how they should be mitigated. With public improvements, the applicant will present more detail around this at the design response conference, but the board should provide feedback on streetscape design, open space, and public art opportunities. The board should also discuss how the location of structures relate or respond to the pedestrian environment, and what are the opportunities for pedestrian plazas at street level, and how could the project engage pedestrians. There's a number of open spaces proposed with this project. The board should also discuss the usability of residential open spaces and provide feedback to the applicant. And lastly, with regards to visual quality of landscapes, the board should also consider the visual quality of the urban environment and opportunities for landscape treatments. We have received public comment on this project, and it was distributed to the board members today. Some of the concerns expressed related to the relationship of this project to neighboring properties, with a particular regard to massing, concerns around acoustic and visual impacts, and retention of mature vegetation. Also, some comments were expressed in support of things like the access proposed by the projects and balconies not being incorporated into the design along the north facade of Tower B in particular. So we're asking the board to provide guidance to the applicant on their proposal and determine what information or materials are needed for a design response conference. And I would be happy to take any questions from the board at this time.
So I have a question, and being a new member, when staff receives comments from the public, are they forwarded to us or?
Yes, it was forwarded to you today.
Today.
Yeah. If you didn't receive it, Amy, let me know and I can send it again.
I'm gonna check my emails. I just jumped right in, so I didn't ask. I didn't check earlier. Sorry about that.
It comes directly from me, so it should be under my name, if that helps.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you, Eve. Now is the time for the applicant to present the project.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. My name is John Fisher. I am with the Inland Group, and we are the sponsor and owner of the proposed Polaris at Totem Lake project. Dane, our architect from Olson Projects, is probably going to be the main person you're going to be hearing from this evening, but I did just want to make a quick statement in regards to the public comment letter we received today as well. So we understand the concerns addressed in that letter, and we've been communicating with the owners to address their privacy and noise concerns and other concerns on the project over the last 4 to 5 months, which is reflected in our preferred massing option. And we can go into the details of that and why here when Dane starts. And we are also eager to provide our neighbors with more illustrations on the building and the cladding, window treatments, et cetera, to kind of show locations, et cetera, of our project, including landscaping schemes between our property lines. So we're hoping that with that design that we can move out of the white box phase, this conceptual design phase that we're discussing this evening, and allow us to move forward to that next phase so we can better represent how we're addressing those concerns laid out in the letter, which we more or less agree with. But we don't believe spending more time in the massing phase of our design review process will continue to adequately show how we're going to be addressing those in terms of the illustrations and items needed to show our better contextual relationship between our site and their site, and how we're putting together setbacks and window treatment to avoid privacy and noise concerns of our neighbors. So I just wanted to address that we are listening and working with our neighbors, including the strip mall to the other side of us, in listening and addressing access and noise and other concerns that are coming out of that. So as we get in this evening, I think that will be some of the items we'll be kind of noting in terms of how we're hoping to address some of those concerns in our preferred massing scheme. And also eager to hear back from the design review board. And I believe the owner's representative is on as well this evening to discuss with us here. So hoping to be collaborative in the process and move forward in a good design for the neighborhood that we're going to be a part of here long-term. So with that, just wanted to turn it over to Dane and we can start working through our schemes here.
Absolutely. Thanks, John. Hello, everybody. Thanks for having us back here. So I'll jump right in here and share my screen. Let's see here. All righty. Is everybody able to view my screen here? Oh, thumbs up. Okay, perfect. Awesome. So great. So first off, I'd like to just say, hey, thanks. I mean, obviously, don't like to hear feedback to say, hey, go back to the drawing board. But obviously, this process is such a such an iterative process. I feel like I draw this thing just about daily, and always try to find something that always comes out of it. So first off, I'd like to say thank you, because it kind of sent myself and my team back to the drawing board, literally, and made actually a little bit more of a simplistic garage structure, if I'll say, with the podium. So it really helped us out in that regard, gave us a little bit more space along 120th Avenue. So there was a pretty big positive there. So I'll go through the massing options here and kind of show you some of those positive outcomes and kind of what we took a look at and what we heard from last meeting. So, and you'll see, you probably noticed in the package that our option numbers kind of changed in what our preferred was. So I'll walk you down the path. Our preferred option is now number 3. Rather than number 2, I think, is what we were originally showing. So kind of go through the progression here. And there's some hybrids on here of kind of some of the better things that we liked about some of the other massings. So so really on this first massing option number 1 here, we took a couple different things, as you can see. Carlos, you had made the comment last time just about taking a look at the vertical modulation on this 5-story mass and being able to see it kind of come all the way down to the ground and be able to see that. That's kind of the attempt right here. That is the intent on this. I'll just call it the, the right side or the left side of this this massing option. It's really the east side along 120th. But as you can see here, we really broke up the building, and you can see on our plans now, I broke it down in terms of colors. These are shadow progressions. So the colors of the units kind of vary between the different shadows. So I apologize for that, but seeing kind of the darker masses or 3-bedroom units as you go lighter down to studios. So if you notice that, I know there wasn't a legend on the plans to be able to describe that, but that is the intent in those plans. So you can see where we're starting to create some notches down the building, some modulation. These are showing at about 18 inches plus or minus there to be able to provide a relief in the building and create areas for relief in terms of materiality, modulation along the facades there. So as you can see on the eastern portion of this massing tower, the intent was to be able to bring those notches or that modulation all the way down to the podium structure. And the intent would be to bleed more or less into the commercial spaces that are below that in a sense. When you look at the perspectives there, it does look quite daunting in a sense. Obviously we could break down that further, but looking at that structure, you're 80 to 90 feet from the grade up to the top of that, top of the roof structure, if you will. So another part of this is you can kind of see this donut portion of the model is really similar to our preferred option on our first go around, where we're stepping back the facade in 2 different spots, really here and here. We've got about a 4-foot modulation break there over the top of the 3-story podium structure. So that intent we kept on this massing option. The bigger change here is really kind of the J scheme, if you will, on the market rate tower. Carlos, you had also made the comment just about on our last massing option for this, our preferred, that it got really tight between those units, between the towers here, where the notch comes right between the 2 towers. And so I think I was pulling a dimension off of there of 20 feet or something along those lines. So really for this scheme, we took a look at a J version to where we inverted that. It works from a unit perspective and definitely creates more room between those units. You don't have units looking at other units, if you will, windows. You've got these units that are facing out towards this open courtyard, and you have more or less, I don't want to say blank walls, but less visibility on those end walls, which is a great thing. It does come at a cost in a sense of mainly the fire access road that loops behind the building. Since we're so landlocked on this project and being able to get the fire access lane looped up behind the building, the fire apparatus has to weave its way underneath a long portion of this podium in the back, if you can see it as here. So you are trying to maneuver that fire apparatus here to try to get to a parking space back in the back here. So that was, I'm trying to organized columns and shear walls and everything of that part, as well as the topography on the backside of the site is difficult. And I see is a big constraint for this option. So I'll run through the plan work here just to reiterate that. Now on this scheme, this is actually the old garage, if you will, and you'll be able to see the two differences in a sense that we were able to remove this portion of underneath, let's see here, kind of this nook of the building here to be able to get this. It's a very inefficient drive aisle. It's a single loaded. You've got, ignore this massing right here. This is a drive aisle that comes here, and trying to get this parking kind of wrapped up underneath here was really difficult. And so by looking at the levels and being able to split the levels, we were able to disjoin the levels from the parking garage and the amenity levels and the residential levels, and we create a more efficient layout of the plates of the parking garage. And so we were able to eliminate that whole finger and be able to bring units back, and as well as be able to create a notch in the building that you'll see in our later schemes. So just keep that as a reminder on the project. So let me go back down to our main space. So again, this original scheme here that I'll call it, really difficult to be able to provide public space really along our front edge. Something that we talked about last time that you'll see in our following schemes, but really being able to push that amenity out and that commercial to be able to get our minimum distances, minimum depths for the commercial that is required for the city. Really shrinks down and elongates our public space like we talked about last time. It felt more like that space was being used for amenity and not necessarily the public, being able to create more of an experience along 120th. So that is one downside about this scheme as well. Parking garage obviously stayed the same as the last scheme. This garage level is very similar to the last go around on this orientation here. Here's more or less the new layout for the J scheme in the courtyard. Definitely elongates the courtyard space here. Everybody's getting hit with the sun coming through my window there. So here, two courtyards within the affordable portion that are pretty similar in size. We have this much larger courtyard that opens up to the south. You do have the mountain there, but much larger usable space there. As you can see, more or less the separation is a pinch point here. This is amenity, obviously. I don't have any dashed lines. I apologize that for the overhanging structure on this, but you'll be able to see it in the perspectives here in a minute. But definitely a lot more space between the two towers in that regard. But again, really where the overhang of this structure is right over the top of this fire lane here. So being able to get a fire apparatus wound up and underneath this podium while still having shear walls and columns and everything else to be able to get that to work is a very difficult feat, is what we're finding. Here's some of the perspectives, scenarios that we looked at last time. I'll jump right to this perspective here. The J scheme, we're able to, obviously we're providing the modulation just on a typical basis for the units. We do have room to push and pull certain units and add square footage. So don't get necessarily locked on exactly where those recesses are. I think through the design response conference, we'll really be able to pull and push multiple levels, be able to create step backs at upper levels. There's more tools in our belt for that option, but these are the typical run-of-the-mill reliefs that we can provide for modulation on the building here without going through 1,000 different iterations. Massing option two, or perspective here, kind of looking from the east or looking west on the east side of the building here. Really this space on the building in all schemes is very locked, being able to get into the project, traffic, trash staging, shared access easement, utilities coming into the building. So really this finger is pretty, a very constant portion that you'll see between probably the three different masses, but creating step backs both vertically and horizontally. So massing looking along 120th, looking southwest, massing looking southeast. And then here's, you can kind of see where the topography digs into that hillside, being able to have to create retaining walls and everything else up in there and be able to shore that is difficult. Okay, here's our second option here. Aoife said, definitely look at the drawing board again. So we really took that to heart on this one. And so this one is definitely different. We swapped the two massings between where the tower is oriented. We've got the Market Rate Tower here, kind of shown in an L version here. And then I don't know what you want to call this this option here, whatever comes to mind on your sense. But really the big one is that we're trying to create three distinct building fingers that are coming out towards the street on this one. So similar to our option three last time, but these cuts go all the way down to the ground more or less here. So really, and the big one here is this cut right here is be able to provide some public space down at the ground level that goes all the way. And then, like I said, the garage is pulled back. So it creates a nice nook where public experience is able to take place. So definitely difficult. This option, I would say, yet very dynamic along the frontage and interesting to look at in plan, obviously comes with challenges in terms of acute and obtuse angles. You have a lot of wasted space on the interior corridors and units, a lot of custom units. Therefore, really just eating out usable space of open space for the courtyards is really what we found. Since the portion of the building where the podium kinks and kind of goes more directly to the west in this portion, that's really, and then the podium obviously elongates over here. That's why we originally were putting our market rate on that bigger chunk of the podium, if you will. And then this smaller portion was kind of set for that affordable. So we're seeing that kind of bleed over into this option as dynamic as even if it looks. So in the plan here, with that being said, we broke the two amenity spaces. As you can recall on the first option there, amenity for the affordable was in this corner right here, kind of consolidated with commercial on this side. Now that we have both kind of portions of the tower, if you will, fronting down along 120th, we split the two amenity spaces and created, this would be kind of a smaller leasing lobby space for the affordable. And then it would be split by the commercial, just obviously throwing this out here with a public plaza space in the center of that. I'll get down to the landscape plans here in a minute, but we kind of have a little bit more of a dynamic, kind of user-friendly public experience space in that public plaza. Again, building services, entry here. One thing I'll note on this next plan is I believe Amy had made the comment last time that looking directly to the east, being able to allow some type of pedestrian connection to adjacent businesses, primarily the Fred Meyer, being able to have tenants or residents be able to cross this shared access here and be able to travel safely was something that we took into consideration here. So really just throwing this idea out here, being able to ramp, there's kind of some grade right in this area, but being able to ramp down, it looks like, so there's a existing retail center right along here. And there's a perfect spot there is an existing sidewalk right here in front of that retail. So thinking about being able to provide a path down and a crosswalk right here to be able to gain access to the Fred Meyer in a safe manner. So as you can see this level, we also provided amenity for the market rate up at an elevated level here. So more theater and exercise and other amenities for that space up off of the ground. There's a lower courtyard here maybe with just landscaping, and then it drops down. So there's kind of a tiered courtyard system that goes down to grade here. A low courtyard potentially above the amenity space here, probably landscaping as well, more of a green roof, being able to bleed nature right down into 120th and kind of this open space. Since there's so much grade along here, landscaping and whatnot, kind of tearing its way, that's the intent, is to be able to bleed that nature in. And I think that was one of the comments that she had made last time. So with those low courtyards, that's the intent. Okay, upper courtyards, obviously a lot going on here. It took me a while to figure this one out, Aoife, over Memorial Day. So it was good. But here we got quite a few different courtyard spaces. As you can see, courtyard 1, 2, 3, there's a courtyard 4 and 5 here. So 1, 2, and 3 are primarily for the affordable project. Obviously usable space. This is probably more of a landscaping courtyard as well. Limited access into that. Courtyard 3, as you can see, kind of some pinch points in that courtyard. Nice thing is it does open more up to the green belt and the access behind the project. Which was a nice aspect, but you do have some units looking kind of directly across about 24 feet or so away from that other unit stack. And those are about 6 stories, obviously. So here too, courtyard 4, one other thing, I mean, it is nice to be able to create more or less a thoroughfare right through the project at this level, being able to bleed some more of that, the nature down through that courtyard. However, this was really tight to even be able to get this 30 feet between the two projects. It is 6 stories tall, and you do have units looking directly across from each other. So it is, even though it looks really nice in plan, I think the experience through there potentially is a dark tunnel through that space. So courtyard 5 is limited to the market rate tenants on here. Here's some of the perspectives of those. Definitely a little bit more of a dynamic form along our, I guess you'll call it the northwest facade here, kind of looking east. Montessori School is right down here. So that was a big one, trying to create more space. I don't know if you recall from our last meeting. Another thing that I didn't mention on the last scheme is that J scheme has tons of units that are fronting right towards the Montessori School, which we knew was we wanted to be able to not have that. So being able to create some type of modulation and step back and courtyard system there is really seeked. So a little bit more modulation here along the perspective looking west here. You have that courtyard, so it really steps down that that scale and brings it into the courtyard, which is nice. As you can kind of see, that's that, just thinking of the potential ramp system that comes down and works its way along the retail center and be able to work over to Fred Meyer. So, but some gymnastics in order to be able to get units, kind of some multi-stepped podium levels. I mean, it's a complex building, no doubt. Tower here looking southwest, and then we've got the perspecting looking north here, kind of along the mountain. One other constraint about this one, again, whenever we're trying to provide the building fingers kind of elevated towards the south end of the site, that is where our fire access loop is coming. So being able to, or having to drive a fire apparatus underneath the building, be able to come up on top of the deck for a hammerhead and then back underneath this building finger is going to be extremely difficult to be able to do. So I don't want to say impossible, but a very big constraint, I would say, on this scheme. Alrighty, and this brings us to our option 3 preferred, which is similar to our preferred option in the first go around. Definitely with a few upgrades, if you will. So again, this one provides kind of the newer garage scheme. It's skinnied up. It provides more room on the back or the south end of the site along the greenbelt easement. It creates a big notch that actually goes all the way down to the ground. Originally, we were showing a connection between this 3-story mass at the ground. So now we've broken these two masses completely down to the ground with a similar courtyard structure, public plaza out in the front along 120th is the intent here. Another big one is being able to break physically the base, if you will, three-story base from the five-story mass up above by pushing those out or pulling these units out towards the front there. And that happens at this side as well as this side here. Again, more modulation in the facade, more on the typical unit scale, if you will. H scheme here, which we believe is definitely the preferred option, especially with the comments even coming through public comment from Montessori School there, being able to provide more of a courtyard space, a break from units, not right on top, looking down at the school and the playground there. So that is really the intent. You do have market rate on this side. So that is, I would say, a benefit. We were able to saw cut kind of these units along the backside to be able to provide a little bit more space per Carlos's comment, being able to provide a little bit more room in between these two towers here. Jump into the plan here. Very similar, obviously, in the garage structure. You can see it's tube structure for the parking garage. So just with one kink here, no added drive aisle up this way. Building services is the thought on the backside here. Short front runs for electricity and plumbing and everything coming into the building there. Commercial portion here, minimum 30 foot depth to be able to hit the requirements. We've got a public plaza 40 by 40 kind of in that notch that goes all the way to the sky right there. I think there's probably tons of different options that we can look at the backside of that public wall or public plaza wall, whether it's a green roof being able or a green wall kind of running up to a mid courtyard, landscaping courtyard kind of right in this spot, again, bleeding or trying to interject that nature into the courtyard structures. Again, pedestrian connection over to the Fred Meyer. I provided, this is something you guys don't have in your package, you haven't been able to see it. It's a few things that I wanted to add to this that I've since last week. So apologize, you didn't have any time to be able to really look at it, but I did create some cross sections through the building here, which will be here in just a second. But these are kind of your indicators of where those locations are. Not much has changed from the first time, except for this courtyard's got elongated. It opens directly out into the road. Like I said, this courtyard kind of scissors as it goes down along, providing more room between these units. We have amenity at the ground level. And so you have a little bit of an oblique angle from those units looking at other units across, which is positive. Here's some of the perspectives. Modulation more at the ends of the corridors, modulation typical modulation, if you will, at those units. Like I said, I still think there's opportunities for pushing and pulling some of these units as we dial in the preferred massing option and direction. In this scheme, you can see I wanted to break the just in terms of shading, I provided gray. So these are still units at this level, but just kind of trying to distinguish the base from the upper in this scheme to be able to show that. But the intent is still to be able to provide units at these two levels here. You do have that definite break at the wood structure from the podium. Continuing the colonnade, kind of along 120th, and be able to provide overhangs for weather protection and just protected areas from there, solar. So here's those building sections that we were taking a look at. Proposed grade, existing grade, as you can see, kind of the topography, we've got a significant hole to dig. Shoring and everything else, no matter what the scheme is there. I wanted to focus these two sections right here are more or less where we're really going to be talking with Montessori school and being able to provide kind of our drive aisle and the existing trees and whatnot along here. But the Montessori school is right down here to our right. But as you can see, we've got significant dirt to move. I just wanted to show this quickly. This is a couple other projects. I know looking back at some of the other design packages, being able to provide kind of work that that the developer has done. These are some of the illustrations for a project that's currently under construction in SeaTac, Washington right now. Polaris at SeaTac as well as Adara. So a similar market rate and affordable Adara kind of being their market rate version, if you will. But and you can go out there in the site and it looks like this. I've been pretty impressed with the craftsmanship that's going up on the project. So just looking at ways to be able to articulate the facade, whether or not it's in siding options or whatever it is around windows. Those are all techniques that we typically employ on these projects. So I just wanted to be able to show that. I mean, nice courtyard structures to be able to provide residents really nice experience out there. This is kind of that same kind of staggered courtyard experience, if you will, that maybe could be similar to the project that we're proposing at Totem Lake. Down into the landscape drawings quickly, if this thing will load here. Kind of an overall one. I won't spend too much time on this one, but you can obviously see kind of the courtyard layout, that public space here along 120th. And then the two courtyard structures are similar to the first go around that we had. So really that public space, trying to create just a few kind of dynamic pathways coming into the project, more of a signature tree in the center, really be able to provide some seating. And like I had mentioned earlier, maybe there's a green wall or something that kind of works up the backside of that thing and then goes more into this elevated courtyard space.
Hey, Dane, I'm going to interrupt you real quick. This is John Fisher. The one thing too, that we're working with the Kirkland, our community engagement process with future residents and folks within the city of Kirkland and Totem Lake neighborhood. So we're going to be doing a public art kind of competition, so to speak, for people to engage and propose different treatments here in our plaza area and along the pedestrian pathway and frontage here. So the intent being that we'll have some good visual interest as pedestrians walk up 120th, not only with the plaza, but different sculptures and outdoor art that will be commissioned to local artists through that process.
Excellent. Thanks, Sean. And then, the last of the courtyard spaces here. Very similar. I mean, this one's changed obviously a little bit. Okay, and then kind of our overview. So that is really my presentation there.
All right. Well, thank you, Dane, very much for your presentation. I guess that now it's time for the board members to make some questions to the applicant. So with that being said, who would the design review board would like to start?
I'd like to start just by asking what sort of history of communications you've had with your neighbor to the north.
And which is
where we got the letter, their comment letter. I'm not sure what sort of engagement, community engagement has been happening.
Yeah, from our side, we were contacted through their representative, Joe Tovar, and have had a few Zoom or phone calls with them to hear about the concerns they had, not only on the design side, but also on the geotechnical side. So we provided them with our geotech report which they had an outside consultant comment on, and we're in the process of responding back in memo form to some of the concerns there around vibrations and noise during construction. The scheme you're looking at is based on those early conversations. So trying to pull back units along that property line with that courtyard two that's on your screen, as well as our original design had kind of a split entry with resident vehicular access along our shared driveway, which we heard loud and clear was not preferred by our neighbor because of the school drop-off zones and just the conflict that could occur there. So we moved our entrance, consolidated it to the area between us and the Fred Meyer Fuel. So those were some items that came out of it based on the discussions we've had to date, and certainly more to come.
Brad, do you have any other questions?
No, not at the moment. I just wanted to open with that.
All right. Thank you very much. Amy, would you like to go?
Yeah, I have several questions. Do you mind walking us through each of your options? And I don't know if you've mentioned this before, but providing us with the lengths of each of the kind of chunks of massing for each option.
Absolutely. Yep, I can definitely do that. Let me go back up to the top here just really quick. And these will be obviously relatively rough, but Blue Beam is such an amazing, oops, don't want to do that one. That's, let me make sure. Sorry, everybody, let me just.
Yeah, that's the wrong scheme.
Oh, I didn't shoot. Do you want me to go through each one of them?
Oh, sorry. Not our preferred one. Sorry.
Yeah. All the schemes, please. All the three options.
Of course. 220 feet, really. I mean, I can go through the top, actually. I mean, really.
So this is option one?
This is option one, exactly. Yep.
Okay.
So, yep. So really, I mean, this stacks at least on this. I don't have the upper levels. I think in conversation with Aoife, we decided to eliminate kind of the upper levels in a sense from this, just to not to go through it. So I apologize on that. But really, the major massing along this front option is really have a very small break, I guess, between the two kind of between the base portion of, you've got 220 feet and 151 feet here. And this finger is very consistent between, I would say, the majority of the options, I guess, besides option two, but 61 feet kind of on the end there. And it'll be a similar dimension here on this.
So you mean like for your preferred option, it would also be around that?
I would say, let me go to my preferred.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, 190 feet here and 150. With roughly a 30 foot, right?
Uh-huh. And then for the option two?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, roughly 65 and 172.
Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I have several more questions. So for the, for your different schemes, it looks like let me backtrack. Can you explain why you need to distinguish the affordable unit building from the market rate, and why you have two separate leasing offices?
Yeah, I can address that. Let me get my camera on here. So it has to do with the legal kind of function of the financing that's used behind all this. So in terms of dollars not being able to mix with other dollars, is a strange reason. I realize that's how it is, but with sources of funds used and tax credits, et cetera, there's some minutiae in terms of what pays for what. And the best way to make sure that it's accounted for properly is to physically separate the buildings. These will all be legal condo ownerships as well, but to physically separate the buildings in order to differentiate the sources of funds being used for each portion of the deal. The other reason is there's restrictions on residents in terms of income and or folks with disabilities or other special needs that might be occupying that require different types of amenity spaces and services that are distinguishable between the two buildings as well. So the project is designed, we have many stakeholders involved in this. So it's kind of trying to bridge the design side with the requirements we have on the financing side, which don't always match up. And I have a lot of examples I won't bore you with, but this is kind of the reasoning behind the separate towers on a shared podium.
So you're allowed to have a shared podium, but not have a shared building, or in other words, you can't mix the units.
On the units, yep.
So for scheme or option two, I think if I heard you guys correctly, weren't there the affordable units going to be in the same building as the market rate?
This is the market rate tower, at least in scheme two, in a sense. So you are still on top of the podium here, but the actual tower.
Oh, okay, good. Is so there's still a separate. So the bigger building is actually the affordable housing portion. Okay.
Sure.
Let me see. So speaking of the distances between units, and I'm glad you got this up. I know you were concerned about the distance. In some cases, you said 24 feet, right? Is that the smallest, the minimum of, in terms of the units that are going to be facing each other? Do you have anything less than that?
At 22 feet, it looks like in this case here. We do have, these are some notches that are about 13, some windows in a sense don't necessarily aren't directly across from each other, but
right.
That happens in kind of all schemes.
Yeah. So the 22 feet, it's just that pinch point, but because the units are kind of flared, it doesn't have the same effect, right, than if they're parallel to each other.
Agreed. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. You mentioned about the the lower units. You kind of have like the upper units recessed a little bit. Do you mind going to one of your massing models that showed white on the two bottom floors and then blue on the upper floors? Yeah, one of these. So I'm getting the impression that the blue part is set back a little bit, right?
Yep.
And how much is that set back?
3 feet on 3 feet on the sides and 4 feet at the front along 120th.
So is your modeling accurate? Because it doesn't feel like, it feels like that's more than 4 feet.
I can bring it up here in a second. Let me see if I can pull up that floor plan here. Let me pull that up off to the side here while I find it. While you do, you want, do you have another question that we can, and I can loop back to you?
Let's see. Just a small one. Your pedestrian connection to Fred Meyer, that basically connects to the Fred Meyer gas station.
Yep.
Yeah, because it's kind of hard to tell. I tried looking at Google.
Earth.
Google, you know, what do you call this? Air, you know, and but I couldn't, you know, Google Earth, but I can't really tell where your sidewalk's gonna land. So
this is right where that sidewalk would be coming down, kind of from the ramp of the building, if you will, and then.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's gonna go through the strip mall. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you get to walk along the strip mall.
Yep, and then there's some stairs and a crosswalk that's already lined out there.
Oh, excellent. Okay, that's good.
So let me.
Do you have any more questions, Amy?
That's it. And we're just waiting for the dimension for the setback.
Yeah, let me get that guy. I have to open up another file here. So just a second here. But maybe if anybody else, I can come back to Amy on that one, if that's all right.
That's fine.
It's loading. Yep.
Right. Ting, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I just have a few questions about the public plaza for Scheme 3, the preferred option. The distance between those two buildings.
The right one. Yeah, that's the right one. Yep.
Oh, sorry. It's fine. So does the 10-foot setback, the building setback, count toward the public required public plaza area?
From my knowledge, it should. I don't know, Aoife, if you have more knowledge on that one, but I would think that anything, our property line is still up to this point. I just can't build a building up to that 10-foot setback line, but I should be able to construct surface grade public amenity public plaza space out to that sidewalk.
Yeah. Also along 120th Avenue, are we required to provide weather protection for pedestrians, like awnings along that building?
There is a requirement for amount of weather protection along 120th. I'd have to dig into that. Probably something we could definitely, or that we will definitely be required to be able to expand upon in our design response. But from my knowledge, yes, we will be required weather protection. Out at the right of way, I don't believe so, since we have that 10-foot setback line there, but for anything that we're proposing out there, I imagine we'd need weather protection.
Okay. So the public plaza is 40 feet by 40 feet. Is that from the building facade to the building on both sides, or some of the area will be covered?
No, the thought is that, that's actually, you bring up a good point there. This is building overhang, right? Oops. Let me get my scale right here real quick. But this podium deck is about 18 feet above you. Just remember that, I guess, is one thing. Let me, but the intent is the building line is actually out here at the columns, if you will. So really air you're a little less than that. So let me provide you a dimension here.
I'm just a little bit concerned if it's only like 30 feet and it's north facing, right? Won't get much sun into that gap. It's basically the same distance between those two buildings in scheme two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, this site is. I mean, your primary facade will. I mean, it is all north facing on that side. So that is one limitation. Obviously, if you're on the south side, a little, or the north side of 120th, a little different ballgame. But I'd agree with you.
Do you have a shadow study for that area?
We do. We should have on that. This is 1st of July at 10 a.m., I think is what I set it for.
It's mostly covered.
Yep, 100%.
That's too bad.
Yeah, you do have quite a few south-facing, I guess, units as well in the courtyards, so. Quite a few of the units. I mean, half of those units are on the backside too. So, but a good point. I don't know what you do about that constraint.
Well, thank you for the answer.
Yeah.
That's all for me for now.
Thank you, Ting. And Dane, just quick question on the solar study. I'm seeing the shadow of the building basically shown to... if you put it in a floor plan, it's northwest, right? So is that set up during the morning or during the evening?
North is this way. I've got it as 10 a.m. is what I've got on my solar. So north is kind of pointing this way. So yeah, shadows on the west side of the building. So that makes sense if my son,
because you're the tree area that you cannot build, that's on, if you look at Google Maps, that's on the west portion of the, well, on the west side of the building. So the sun should come on the other side, right?
I guess I'm standing over here looking at this way of the building, right?
Yeah, if you place, can you go to Google Maps and just look at a plan view oriented to the north? I guess that's just going to clear some.
Yeah, the green belt is on the south of our site.
Yeah, oops, sorry.
This is oriented north looking.
Right. So you have your shadows looking to Totem Lake. But Totem Lake, it's northeast of this building. So in reality, shadows should go to the other side, right?
Totem Lake's over here, towards the west.
East.
Or sorry, towards the east, my bad. Yeah, Totem Lake's over this way.
Yeah.
So the sun comes out from the east. So the shadows should be depicted to the other side. That's
sun kind of comes over this way.
Yeah.
Sun, okay. East, west, over here.
Yep.
And then this is north. Probably couldn't have made it more confusing. Sorry, Carlos. I have it totally turned around on you there.
No. No, no worries. Just trying to understand as well. Kind of like,
oh my gosh, yeah.
The building. And I know that you guys have a like different angle, so it makes it more complex than
what it looks like. Extremely complex. So yeah. I wanted to show the main facade. So I'm sorry, I probably should have oriented it the opposite way. So.
No worries. All right. Randall, you want to go next?
Sure. You know, we spend a lot of time on the vertical modulation of, you know, setbacks, 18 inches, 2 foot into the building, popping them back out and that type of thing. And I'm just wondering on this particular particular scheme, as I look at scheme three, I know your goal is to optimize number of units and that type of thing, but is there, I wasn't at the May 2nd design review board, but have you looked at some sort of step backs within the front face of this building? More of a, I guess, wedding cake deal or something like that, because we're always dealing with modulations of kind of the flat surface going through, but it just isn't, you know, that particular aspect of modulation really hasn't materialized, or it isn't here. It's just the front face that you've tried to alter the, you know, take it back and forward total plane from floor, you know, bottom to top, or the top four or five floors. Have you done any step backs look or concepts where you've looked at some step backs from floor to floor?
We have. Really what it is, it's really, as John was talking about, and he can speak up about it, it's a very prescriptive amount of units. We have to have exactly 300 units for this. We have to have exactly 40 units of 9% and 260 of 4%, all have to split on a certain level. And so being able to get the stacks in that count to ultimately work in that 300 count is a difficult thing. One thing we did look at.
What drives the 300 count?
John, do you want to?
Is that talk a? About that? Is that because of the affordable housing and this type of thing on it?
Yeah, we have the two buildings, one at 300 and one with the balance of the units, the 300 being the affordable component to the overall community, of which multiple stakeholders involved in the funding and types of units and percentages of units that are ultimately designed into here. So this reflects our commitments to our stakeholders and which is King County, City of Kirkland, and the state of Washington.
You're dealing with some form of a Rubik's Cube. Okay.
Yes.
No, I can see that as you're trying to maximize units and this type of thing. And yeah, that makes total sense that you've got a variety of variables pushing on this. And that, because I just, you know, we deal with the buildings and we're always trying to, that vertical face and that.
Yeah, which I think was kind of getting back to Amy's question about the footage of that break at level three. Dana, I don't know if you got that amount, but that is our preferred scheme in terms of like trying to push back in terms of the pedestrian experience, and you're not kind of looking straight up. There is a bit of a pullback at that third story to kind of soften that the vertical articulation that you're describing.
Sorry, Amy, that's what I got at the recessed portions. I've got 4-4-2-10 at these portions here. Nice eye.
Thank you.
I don't really have any other questions at this time. I'm still just taking it all in and trying to absorb what you're doing here. It seems like we're getting a lot of the complex sites in Totem Lake lately.
Randall, just to quickly answer that on yours, I mean, we did look at trying to toss units down low at, this is what's called P1 down here at this level, just four units. However, we're proposing, you've got a lot of services down here, you've got trash, you've got other spaces. That's really some of the only space left other than putting units directly on 120th, which we do not want to do.
Right.
That is about all the space we get to be able to put 300 units in this thing.
No, that satisfies me for right now.
Thank you, Randall. Brad, do you have any other questions?
No, actually, Amy and Ting covered mine.
Good. All right, I guess that's my turn. I'm just going through the list, and I saw that this was a question that the public sent us. Are you intending to use any balconies for this project?
Negative.
Okay. And the north vehicular access, to my understanding, is a fire lane only, right? That's not going to be the main vehicular entry point.
Agreed. Yep. EV gate locked off there. Yep.
Okay. All right. Had a couple more questions. So let's go in order. Can you jump to the floor plan that is showing option 3 and actually shows the units or shows the courtyards? All right, could you quickly dimension all the courtyards and the spaces between the buildings, the width and the length, especially of that courtyard? I'm guessing that there's only one additional item, that it's the space kind of like below, well, above the open space above the public plaza. Okay, that's 31. So you have 31 there. I'm basically between the two buildings, the one that the courtyard number 3 that connects the two buildings, or basically disconnects the two buildings. You have a 130 linear facade. That's the other building. Well, the other courtyard. You have two that are number 3. I guess at the north courtyard.
Oh, sorry.
That is number 3. You have the separation of the units. That is 22 feet, right? And 11. So that's even and a smaller separation than option 2, where you had 24 feet, 2 inches, and 29. Yep. And yeah. I'm guessing that above the amenity space, you're going to have units, right? And those units are going to be facing that courtyard?
Yes. Yep.
So it's pretty much the same condition as courtyard, well, as option 2. Can you dimension, go to option 2 the same level, and they mentioned the length of that courtyard that divides basically the that.
There's that, and then this is kind of a landscaping portion of that.
125. Yeah, I guess 29. Okay. That answers first question. Now, can you explain to the board option 2 and option 3, the fire access lane, what are the challenges between those two options? I'm seeing that the information that you submitted to the board didn't have the upper levels that basically are extending above the courtyard. So I'm just trying to understand why, well, in the perspective that we received, they look pretty much similar. They look like both of them are extending above the fire lane. So I'm just trying to understand what's the issue there between the two options and why option 2 has more columns that are extending.
Yeah, absolutely. I can share that. Yeah, so really option 3 here, it only has this portion here that is extending over.
So it's the same as the other one?
Exactly. So it's exactly the same as the other one, more or less, right here. The nice thing is you got to come underneath this underneath this podium deck. So that this podium deck is actually raised 2 feet higher than this other tower in order to get a fire apparatus underneath here, 14 foot clear. And you have to get up on top of this courtyard space. You have to raise up here. And then you're parking the fire apparatus here in this fire lane here to be able to achieve a hose pull from this fire, the end of this fire lane, to about the center of this portion. And then you're parking the other fire truck right over here and pulling up this grade to get to your 150 here. So
and what is the issue with option two?
What's that?
What is the issue with option two?
So this one here is you have a podium over the top of where you're parking the fire apparatus. So thinking about being able, you'd need to work with fire department to be able to make sure that you can park the fire apparatus, and especially if it's a ladder truck, to be able to, you've got the green belt easement right here. So being able to have clear space above the fire apparatus while the fire is being fought, that's kind of the scenario that either needs further study or is just a bad idea to be able to do. And that's the only way we can get this scheme to work, is to be able to extend units over without losing other courtyard spaces and creating other pinch points, is to be able to get these stacks of units above here. So
how many units would you be losing if you remove the volume that is above the fire, where you have the text fire lane?
Just a second here. I want to say just off the top of my head, there's 4 stacks of 5. So 20 units out of the affordable.
And what if you lose only one level above the fire lane? Would that work?
You'd have maybe a clear, you wouldn't have a podium up at that level. You'd have to create an additional transfer deck above another podium. I guess you'd have a podium deck at L2, and then you'd have this portion out here is probably very, is difficult, I would believe, to construct from a structural standpoint. And also trying to achieve, you'd need, it'd have to be a 12-inch deck. And I need a 9-foot floor to floor, more or less, from wood going up to that point, or I'm going to get above my maximum height on the building. So I can't create another podium deck up above an L2 level, is what we're calling, which is where this one is right now.
So I'm just trying to understand if this is an option that was presented to the board, but it doesn't really work. Is there an option that works that has some similar configuration to the option 2?
I guess I'm not necessarily saying it's impossible, but thinking about it, needing to either get confirmation from the fire department to be able to see if this works or not. That is one thing that would need to be gone down if the board decides that this is the option that would want to be looked at.
Okay, I have a question for Oif. How long does it take for fire department to kind of like do this kind of like a schematic review of the options and come up with a determination whether one can work versus the other one that cannot?
They probably can turn it around in a week or two. The preliminary packet is routed to the fire department when it's submitted for review, and they provide initial comment. At this stage, they're fairly high level for them to provide, really detailed comments. So if this was something we wanted to get them to look at, I think we would need a bit more detail from the applicant.
Okay. Yeah, just a little bit turned off by the fact that this is presented, but we don't really know if it can work. So I don't really see this as an option.
Well, Carlos, what are you preferring on this option?
I guess that's going to come up for deliberation, but just in general, kind of like I'm just seeing something different to the option 1 and option 3. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm more interested. Also kind of like saw that option 3 has a smaller gap separation between buildings.
Yeah.
So still think there's something to do.
Yeah, I think it goes back to the Rubik's Cube of the site is challenging with the options available when you layer in parking, unit count, et cetera. So it's not, like Dane said, it's not like this scheme can't work. It's that it's not our preferred scheme because the cost implications of tearing a fire lane, as well as probably not an ideal situation for a fire truck, but yet still needs to be explored with the fire department. This is a scheme that we can refine, but clearly not our preferred because of the various site constraints that are incorporated into this.
Is parking impacted on all three options, or which one gets altered by changing the massing?
The parking is based on our unit count. So it's provided for.
Right. But in terms of the layout, did you alter the parking layout, or is it the same for all three options?
Option one still has the old garage, in a sense, Carlos, on there. So, but options two and three have kind of the refined, narrow parking structure, if that helps.
Can you quickly show me what was refined in option three for the parking?
Yeah, as opposed to option one.
If option one was what you guys presented last time, I'll be interested in just like quickly, visually, if you can like split the screen, I guess that would be awesome. So we can have a visual reference of both schemes.
Yeah, let me see here. Typically don't, let's see here. Tools, windows.
And while you do that, I have a question for John regarding Ting's question about the public plaza. Can the applicant use the area beyond the setback for that purpose, or are they required to include it within their property boundaries for construction?
Yeah, they can. On-grade improvements are allowed within a setback. So, it's still within their property line, like it's inside their property line. That's where the setback is from. So the public plaza, the intent of it is for this like public-private transition. So they can use the space for a public plaza.
Okay.
I've got the scale on here, right? Now we're still 118 there. So really, Carlos, what it comes down to is this finger right up here. There was ignore this mass, sorry, but there's a drive aisle back here, and so that drive aisle kind of came through in a single loaded. So looking back at it, originally we had three decks of parking on this on option one. Now there are four decks of parking on this. These didn't yield very many stalls here. And as we've been going through the process, working with a civil engineer just on detention requirements, we're going to need an 86,000 gallon or 86,000 cubic gallon or yeah, cubic gallon or cubic yard, sorry, detention tank at the bottom level of the parking garage, which takes up a bunch of stalls. So by shortening this down and creating four stacked levels of parking, we were able to get the detention tank down in there, as well as remove this finger and kind of skinny up the building, if that makes any sense.
Okay, so the one that you have on the right is option
one.
Option one?
Yep.
One that you have on the left is option three?
Yep, option three.
And just, I'm guessing by opening the space for the plaza on option three, you shrunk the footprint and needed to create another level to compensate for the loss of parking stalls?
Yep.
Okay, and on the north portion, does it remain the same? Is it the same footprint?
Out to the property line, roughly.
Well, yeah. Kind of like the north portion of the building, kind of like to the left, yeah.
Yep. We pulled this, so this option, this is the new option. We pulled this down 5 feet to get a little bit more room along the fire access in the building and the property line with the intent of trying to keep those mature trees between the Montessori school towards the north. So this finger more or less moved to the south 5 feet on that regard.
Okay. And just wondering, okay, I see that you have the trash area on option 3, kind of like towards the main access point for vehicles, right?
Yeah, vehicle entrance is one level underneath the trash here. So this is actually at P1. So we've got P4, P3, P2, and P1 now, rather than just down to P3. Okay. We're entering at P2.
For option 3, can you show the footprint of the building with the units above? I didn't see it in the package. The one that is extending above the fire lane.
Let's see.
Because we only got L1 floor plan, but it's still showing the fire lane, but it doesn't show the units that are above it.
I can show you now, at least right here.
Okay. Do you have design options set up in the model or the other options?
I can do some. I will. Let me pull up the other one.
Just want to see option 2.
Oops. Here. And you can see we have done tons of design amassing options. So I promise I'm not lying.
I see it now.
We have I see it
in your package. I think that it's page number 63.
Yeah.
So my apologies for that, for making you like go through all that effort. Yeah. All right.
Option 3 here. Sorry. I can pull this one up. Sure, it only take a second.
Okay, I see what's happening there.
Yep, it's landing kind of on a knob as well on the hill. It's a difficult area. Mm-hmm. So I don't necessarily need to fly around this portion of it, but.
No, I think that's fine. Can you do me a favor and jump back to the presentation?
Yep.
Can you show me again? Yeah, that plan that you have on the left. You have another extra sheet for that, right?
What's that? Like the site? Yep, or the sections?
With the sections? Yeah, I think of that. Oh, you actually have it on the, you had it on the right. The plan that I was interested in looking at.
Oh, sorry. Okay, my bad.
No problems.
Option 1.
Yeah, that plan. Perfect. If you look at 120, there's a gap in between the two units. What does that mean? What is that gap? The white blank space. Yeah.
The thought is that would just be a custom unit with a notch there, a little bit bigger of a one bedroom, just to fill that gap, if you will.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. I guess that's all for me. Those are all my questions. Thank you very much for answering them. We'll continue. Now will be time for anyone in the audience to make any comments or questions on this project specifically. So do we have a list of audience?
Yeah. So if you'd like to speak, please use the raise hand feature. And Shay will promote you to speaker. And Shay, what do we need again for the public comment portion? Is it just email address? And if you could spell your email, I think that's it.
Yes, we would need you to state your name and spell your email address for us for public record.
So I think first up will be Joseph Tovar.
Hello, this is Joe Tovar. My email address is jwtovar@icloud.com. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you, Joseph.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the time. Give me a few minutes to address this, this issue. I'm speaking tonight on behalf of my client, Bedford Properties. They are the owners of the parcel immediately to the north of the Polaris project. That site contains the Evergreen Academy Montessori School, which has an enrollment of 160 pupils who are up to 6 years of age. Improvements on their property include the two-story frame building, which houses classrooms and offices for the school, a parking lot, and an outdoor playground. That playground is used throughout the day for up to 60 children at a time. Ground level and aerial photos of the Montessori features are included on an attachment A to the letter I submitted just this afternoon. I apologize for getting a letter to you as late as we did. That is because we did not know until late on Thursday about tonight's meeting. So we tried to tell you what we have to say about this project and our reaction to it and our suggestions, but bear with me, please, and I'll just give you the highlights. Now, as we understand it, the purpose of the design review process in Kirkland is to encourage new development to respond to the city's design guidelines, which in turn embody the principle that context matters. My clients and I have reviewed the design guidelines and find that many of them are relevant to the Polaris project, including the need to reflect the existing context, including the Montessori School and improvements immediately to the north. However, to date, there have been no graphics, maps, sections, site plans, or other submitted materials that acknowledge that context explicitly. We believe the massing and configuration of the north ends of both of these towers should account for the relationship to the Montessori School. While the current Polaris submittals include illustrations of massing alternatives and shadow patterns, none of them explicitly carry those features off-site to the adjacent property. We think this is a serious omission and should be corrected. Now, after listening to the recording of your May 2nd meeting, my clients agreed with the board members that the massings presented at that time were fairly generic variations on the same design. It seems to us that this challenge to vary massing and modulation has not fully been met as of the date of the May 2nd meeting. We know the applicant has made some attempt to show you tonight some options. We can comment on those shortly if you'd like us to. We do agree with the developer that balconies can become a problem, de facto storage areas, and that they are unsightly. So we oppose the inclusion of balconies. We're relieved to hear the applicant say they do not intend to include balconies on the portions of the towers that face our property. Strongly support the developer's plan to use the shared driveway as secondary access only with a gated fire lane with prospective tenant parking limited to 7 places. This will help retain the quiet enjoyment of the outdoor play area for the children. We'll also avoid a major traffic snarl during peak hours when the Montessori school receives upwards of 100 vehicles coming to the site as parents drop off their children. We ask the design review board to direct the applicants to prepare for our and your consideration additional drawings to show their project in context of the Bedford property and the Montessori school. This would include amended shadow pattern illustrations and architectural cross sections to scale showing the relative elevations of the proposed towers to the Montessori structure, parking area, and retaining wall. Another section would specifically show the relationship and views between the towers and the playground. We also like to see detailed landscaping plans showing the mature trees along the shared property line to be retained, together with any additional plantings to help maximize the screening between the towers and especially the children's playground. After reviewing any additional drawings, we would like to provide you a specific additional comment about how the design guidelines should be applied to the project. Happy to answer any questions. Thank you for taking the time to hear our remarks. Happy to answer questions.
So, Joe, I do have a question. This is Amy Tars. With those mature trees on the shared or on the property line, would your client be amenable to some other screening options? I'm just looking at the site plan, and it looks like they pretty much have their fire access lane the whole width all the way up to the property line. So it implies that they will be taking out those trees. But I'm just asking if there are other options to that would provide the same quality of screening effectively.
Hey, Joe, you might be muted. We're not hearing you if you're speaking.
Thank you. I'll show you my face as well. Hello, everyone. Good question, Ms. Tars. I think tonight we saw the architect for the developer show a drawing that does pull back from that common property line. And he actually did show, started to animate on the drawings, some images showing how trees could be placed in there. So I think that would be our preference to use existing vegetation. It's very mature, it's very substantial. We think it does a pretty decent job of providing the screening effect that we're looking for. We can't say for sure though, if that's enough. Again, this is why sections would be useful, showing the height of those trees as well to scale, and even views looking down to the north from the upper stories of those two towers. I think that's something that's within the ability of the architectural model that's being used by the applicant. I think that'd be useful to see going forward, to see if that's the best way to do it or if there are other ways to also help with that screening effect.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Joseph. Dane, I think that you can just answer the questions about the balconies. Same question that I asked earlier about the use of them. If I recall correctly, you said that no, you guys are not planning to use balconies?
Correct, yep, no, that's the intent is no balconies, yep.
Okay, that solves one of the questions as well. John,
let's see, is there anyone else that would like to provide public comment? Please raise your hand. It looks like yes. We have Danny Kornfeld.
I think I'm unmuted myself now.
Yes, we can hear you.
Perfect. Danny Kornfeld, I'm the property owner to the south with the Totem Hill Plaza and where the Fred Meyer gas station is located. My email, Danny, D-A-N-N-Y, at alizainc.com, alizainc.com. I have two comments. I'm not sure if this is the correct forum for it or somewhere else in the development process. We do share one of our driveways coming into the property. There's a shared easement for access, which is going to be there. This development's main access point. So I'm just curious, right now it's a left in, left out, right in, right out, if that potentially could be impacted and affecting our access egress to our property. That was one question or one comment. The second comment is on the south side of the building where there's that connection from this development over to our sidewalk. It is connecting over towards Fred Meyer. The side of that south side of the building, I would say it is. I would just hope that from a design point of view that there's more than adequate lighting on that side of the building, so it's not kept as a back of a building that's darker in any way. I'd like to see a lot of lighting on that side, the south side. It's also just to discourage any kind of people hanging out behind in that Totem Hill area. Those are my comments.
Thank you, Annie.
Thank you.
And is there anyone else that would like to provide comment at this time? Please raise your hand. It doesn't look like it, Carlos. I think that's it.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. So let's go ahead and jump into the deliberation. If anyone would like to start, that'll be great. If not, I'll start suggesting board members to start the conversation. Amy, would you like to start?
Okay. Thank you to the applicant for answering my questions, and it's definitely helped me to understand better the different options, especially option two, which has more of the different plazas and notches or courtyards. Is actually I found to be more responsive to a pedestrian scale. And the reason why I asked for the facade widths is because, I wanted to get a better idea of, the different quote unquote towers and, option three definitely is an improvement of option one by providing that quote unquote notch. It still has quite a big or long facade, the 190 feet. And I don't think that an 18-inch depth is enough to provide proper modulation. And so having said that, I would really encourage the applicant to look at, introducing a deeper modulation for option three, if that's really what their preferred option is, and to look at option two for guidance into creating that same look without having to compromise or give up units. Option two, again, I would say, has more of that quote unquote village feel, which, from the street side view, actually is, again, in terms of scale, is definitely more pedestrian friendly. Having more courtyards for the residents is definitely a plus. I also think that moving the main entrance to the garage to the Fred Meyer side was a major improvement, because I was also very concerned about the access, you know, through the shared access with the Montessori school, primarily because there's that, you know, in the original concept, there was that quote unquote courtyard between the two buildings, but it's completely cut off by a driveway that would have been a major traffic or automobile access. So I would like to definitely have the applicant further refine their site plans to be mindful on how those courtyards and open spaces are accessed from the street. Option three, again, is an improvement of option one by providing that common open space or public open space in the notch. And I agree with Ting and her concerns about the size of it. I mean, you know, currently showing 40 by 40, but at the end of the day, with all the encroachments of, you know, the structural components, you know, I'd like to see what the quality of that space is, and whether it is gonna be usable. Regarding the concern, regarding the concern about the trees, the mature trees, I would definitely like, you know, I agree with Joe Tover's recommendations for further detailed analysis. Just from looking at the site plans and my experience with reviewing projects like this, I'm concerned or I'm not so sure that those mature trees can be saved. But if the applicant is not going to be able to save those trees, we definitely would like to see some proposals on how to mitigate for the views. I also was wondering if we should also look at further, this is for the next iteration. There's that green space, you know, as the road curves, there's that kind of triangular space between the street and the driveway to the visitor parking. And it seems like that may be a lost opportunity and maybe a good thing to activate to create a more continuous pedestrian environment. I'm not really sure how the applicant's planning to treat that, but I just like to see that not just, you know, used as kind of like a green buffer between the street and the driveway, the driveway to the parking. The columns that's being proposed right now, obviously this is just at a conceptual level. Again, I would like to see how that's gonna be treated. The way it reads right now, it feels out of proportion in terms of how massive these buildings are and how skinny those columns are. I would definitely like to see how those columns will be integrated into the overall elevation and design of the building. Just to conclude, I still think that option two is the better option in terms of massing, and to the extent that the applicant can take a lot of cues from the width of those buildings or the quote unquote towers of option two and replicate that in option three, then I would be okay with option three. Those are all my comments.
Thank you, Amy. Yeah, I kind of agree with you that option two showed a massing that breaks up the scale along 120, which makes it more appealing and kind of like angling that piece of the building creates a more interesting geometry rather than just having a flat facade. I don't know. Yeah, this is a tough project. I don't know, Ting. What do you think about it? What do you think about option two, option three? Which one do you like?
Me?
Yes.
Thank you. I kind of think option two is a little bit too dynamic. Since this is an affordable housing project, it seems to me it will cost much more to build something like this compared to scheme three, more straightforward. And then just from the construction cost side, I would prefer scheme three, actually. The only concern I have with option three is that courtyard being probably just like 30 feet wide. If it is not usable, if it's gonna be dark, almost impossible to activate that space. It will be just dark and wet probably most of the time. And then maybe you can consider just close that courtyard to gain the space. But at the same time, you can use that space to push the facade along 120th back to create some layers to further break down the mass. And then it won't look so as flat as currently presents. That's my thought on scheme three. Yeah.
Don't you think that the buildings along 120 are very heavy in terms of horizontal facade?
It is. That's why I'm thinking, you know, they might be able to consider close that courtyard. And then to gain some space, still achieve the number of units they want. But then they can save some space to push that facade back, to have more setback, and then create some of the space along the upper level to break the scale.
Some step backs?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like give and take, like sacrifice the courtyard void and basically make the other units go a little bit back so it doesn't feel that heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Randall, what do you think about it?
Here we go. The wrong buttons. I'm really looking at option three. I mean, there's the key kind of drawings that they're presenting is when you look at this building as you're coming essentially south on 120th from 124th, you're coming around that corner and coming up towards this site. And there are some trees along the side of the street there. Somewhat in front of the Montessori school and that, but the, you know, option three really has an appearance of three different buildings. Now, two of them are very similar with the notch in between. The third one is the one off to the right, but you see the gap in there and you see a much, so I, you start to diminish the massing by doing something of that sort. When you get to option two, you start at the west and there's really, yes, there's some cutouts where the building drops in and there's this corner that kind of comes out and turns on an angle, but it really reads as a continuous building. It starts over at the at the right hand side, and then it goes all the way to the left, where I see number three is really on almost breaking up into three buildings at that perspective. Now, as you come up, 120th from the south, from in front of Fred Meyer's and Dunn Lumber, and you come up this way, all three options, really, you're seeing almost the same thing in elevation. You're seeing the narrower part of an L-shaped portion sticking out, and then it's stepping back. And so you've got relief there in that. And so in light of that, there's some things about option two that, that are interesting, but it seems to be one or two elements that kind of pop out at you, but then the rest of the building kind of sits in the back, and it's, I don't know, it just doesn't do it for me. But it's when the smaller portion or the far west portion of this building just continues into the rest of the building, and the massing to me seems to be much larger under an option two from that perspective. And that, and King pointed out something that, option two, there's a lot of in and outs and that on that western portion of that building that I'm not sure if we're to consider economics, but it would be a tough one to do and that. And I also think that the massing with the Montessori school and this type of thing, the west portion, with the way they put a deeper cutout into that and made it more of a kind of a U-shaped, well, it's kind of an H-shape, but on the north side of it here, you've got a U-shape, and that somewhat breaks it up. Where, on option one, it was a fairly straight plane. Option two, it does have that, somewhat of a recess into there. I can't tell if they're the same, or it looks like it's not quite as deep in option two, but yet that elevation just continues. And I just think that this building, the west portion relates more to the Montessori site than option two does. Down along the front edge on 120th, you do have a colonnade or promenade or whatever you'd want to call it under the building there, to where when you look at kind of pedestrian activation, you've actually got a walkway that, if you are walking along here in our usual rain, sidestepping over and walking along the building in front of those, the amenity space and the commercial space or retail space, you've really got kind of a promenade and a covered pedestrian zone that pulls the pedestrian somewhat under the building, to where option two doesn't really offer that in a continuous format, nor does option one. And so I think option three gives, in that respect, as far as pulling a pedestrian area in and being able to move along that retail space and the amenity space for the building. I wasn't at the May 2nd meeting, but I think, running the main entrance to the parking garage off of that area to the south instead of to the north, both in relationship to the way that north driveway enters 120th and the distance it is from 124th interchange. There's cars backed up to this point quite often. And so that would be just more contributing to more of a traffic hazard or traffic situation there, to where moving it south, it seems to have a little bit better function on it. I think, having the applicant come back and work on the modulation of the front faces of the building. I think they've got plenty to work with here to make it work and to go from there. So I just, at this point in time, I would support option three would be my preference.
And what do you think about Ting's comment, sacrificing a little bit the courtyard space so you can do some step backs along that facade on 120?
Yeah, and you're talking about the courtyard space in the center of the building, correct?
Yeah.
I'm not sure where we go with that, because that's what, a six-story donut, lack of a better term. It's highly architectural. In order to get the corridor, interior corridors, and get the number of units that they're looking for, you know, you cut that out and try and do, to cut that out, they're going to lose those, lose numbers and that. And then whether that kind of courtyard is an effective space from a design review board perspective, that's almost an interior space. And so I'm not, put a skylight over it, I guess, but I guess it's one of those elements that for the usability and the marketability of the apartment building, an interior courtyard like that may or may not work. I'm just not, I guess as I look at it and I relate from public spaces and going from public to private, that is totally private space. And I don't, I just don't know how much leeway we have to say much about it, to be honest with you.
Okay. I mean, at the beginning, I was kind of like leaning towards option two, but you brought a lot of good points. And it's just going to be challenging for this building to become successful, given the site conditions. Brad, what do you think?
Yeah, this is a tough one, Carlos. I think everyone on the board's made some good points so far. I do kind of agree with Amy. Yeah, I think option two, I'll be short. I think option two most effectively breaks up the facades. You know, we saw all those distance measurements, and along 120, if we definitely had shorter facades and, more broken up massing. I just don't think for option three, I think it was Amy who said, those little 18-inch bumps, I don't think that's enough to effectively, break up and consider real modulation. And as you're coming up that hill, from the north side, it all reads as one big long elevation. I'd be okay with something like that if they were actually going to be using balconies, or if they were doing, I think Randall said, a wedding cake, where they might step back, an upper level or two. But otherwise, if it's just going to be a straight sheer vertical facade there, I'm going to go with option two.
I mean, one of the points that we needed to discuss is pedestrian access. And as Randall mentioned, option three provides the covered pedestrian area along 120, which kind of like makes it more inviting for pedestrians to use it rather than option two. Option two, yes, you get the modulation, which might be good or bad depending on like the construction, the materials, but it doesn't really provide a lot of pedestrian opportunities there. Now, the intent is kind of like to activate this area. This is one of the key corridors of the master plan. And I just don't know, Brad, if looking at option two will satisfy that, or if it will create some different need to provide other elements that might look just added to the project rather than being intentional. And on the other side, on option two, is that you got the really long element on the north side, which it's kind of like one of the things that we've been like looking at, basically the whole massing of it. I don't know, like,
yeah.
I mean, yes, I see your point about breaking up the scale of the buildings along 120, but then you end up with a really long facade. And looking at just Google Maps and some views of the Montessori kind of like green buffer, it doesn't really have any trees in there. So that is going to be exposed and you're going to be able to see it, which is kind of like not responding to the modulation on the other side of the building. I don't know if you see that the point.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Brad. Go ahead. I'll follow you.
Oh, I was just gonna say to Carlos that yeah, there's no one perfect design. You're kind of having to pick and choose. All I know is that, you know, one of the main charges is you know, in the kind of neighborhood zoning codes is breaking up the massing for the DRB. The pedestrian covered walks is important, but that's a detail that we could perhaps get added or, you know, discuss in a later kind of response conference with option two. Whereas if we approve option three, because it's got a covered pedestrian walk, well, we're not going to be able to really drastically change the modulation and massing of the building, you know, in later response conferences with, you know, option three. That's why I would lean towards option two right now myself. And for having a longer, you know, facade. I think most traffic is going to be going along 120th. And so that's why I would lean towards two.
I mean, we the tunnel like development, there are some buildings that have that nature pretty much where like the parking lot is for, I don't know if you recall that project, but the parking lot is pretty much the first, what's 2-3 levels are parking. And above that, there are some units and it's pretty much a long facade, but it doesn't really feel like that once you start incorporating the other elements as materials, as overhangs, some sort of treatment that can go beyond that without having to do some radical interruptions of the mass. I guess that at this point we've seen and we've tried to push the applicant to provide different options. I know that there's still some work that needs to be done in terms of modulation. Amy pointed it correctly, that option three, if that was kind of like the thing that we wanted to go with, it required more modulation. She brought a very good point about just this being affordable housing, not being some high-end type of apartment. So, I mean, we are just trying to come up with...
Yeah, I'm not as concerned about the cost for their framers to do a few more walls. They are presenting this option to us, so I'm sure it'll meet their pro forma, you know, and hit the numbers they need. I'm looking at this purely from what is the benefit of the residents and the neighbors in the city of Kirkland. That's not to cut you off, Carlos, but that's just an argument. I mean, I've seen developers come in and totally come after we've approved something and try to change out materials or paints or colors, and the reason is always cost savings. I'm not interested in that. The building's going to be here for 50 years. So let's get the design and the massing right now. Ting's point, yeah, if they change up some of the massing and tweak option three, then I'd be happy with it. But this is what they've proposed. So if they want to come back another round with option three slightly modified, I'd be okay with that. If they want me to pick something now, I'm leaning towards option two.
Just as the short, long and short of it.
Sorry to interrupt you. I see your point, Brad. But I feel like we need to, look at the construction cost side, because it will eventually affect the aesthetic of the building. When a building gets too complicated, once you build it, and then you're not just see the rendering image, you will start to see all the downspouts running across and then vents. A lot of things that will eventually really affect the quality of the building. And then from pedestrian's perspective, when you look at a building, would you prefer to see, the interior geometry of the building, or would you prefer to see a cleaner facade? And then to me, I would prefer a higher quality on the building than struggling to make all this geometry work, spending all the money on those to struggle for it. So I feel like they are related.
And just to add on that thing, I guess that I was also looking at what you mentioned, Brad, providing kind of like trying to lead or suggest or advise the applicant for the best option that works also for the people that are going to be living in these units. Option two has a really long corridor that separates the two buildings. Just looking at that and looking at the other options, it's just pretty much all those units are going to be staring at each other rather than like the other options that are presented. Yes, they have their different advantages and disadvantages, but in general, they are trying to like look to open areas. So it's not only kind of like deciding based on the modulation. I think that the modulation can be achieved by the applicant with different techniques. But as being said, like once it comes to kind of like you start building the massing, then you start sacrificing other elements that might not be appealing visually to the pedestrians or the people that are going to be utilizing these spaces.
So, I just wanted to throw out some other ideas or other perspectives. I think with the the arcade on the ground floor, there's pros and cons actually with doing an arcade, because by recessing the actual quote unquote storefront windows, it's removing the activation from view on the street. Right, because you're further recessed, it's darker, it's you don't see as much of what's going on and the activities in there. So I agree with Brad that level of detail can, regardless of whether it's an arcade or if it's got just like a canopy cover or some other landscaping, you can achieve a pedestrian friendly lower floor with various options. Now, the one thing that I forgot to mention earlier with option two, even though I prefer that in terms of massing, one thing that I was concerned about is the circuitous corridors, which for the residents are probably going to be a little challenging to navigate, or maybe just me, but I've been to buildings like that where I'm completely lost. Because of all the turns and, corners. So definitely a simpler floor plan will also be more beneficial, even just for the residents. I just wanted to reiterate that I think option three can work, but they definitely need to to tweak their facade to incorporate more modulation. And I was wondering, and I know Carlos, and I'm glad you brought this up, that there are already existing projects in the Totem Lake, let's say village, right? That was approved by the DRB. And I'm not really sure how long those facades are, And maybe at the next round of review, if they want to stick with what they have now, they can give us some examples of existing facades in the Totem Lake area for comparison. And maybe that will help me and Brad be more comfortable with their proposed, what I call long facades right now. It's just very hard for me to really gauge that what they're proposing is acceptable. For option three. The other thing I wanted to just emphasize, maybe this is just a personal conviction. I don't really like to distinguish affordable housing buildings from market rate buildings with quality. In other words, I don't think that we should compromise quality just because it's an affordable housing project, because I feel like that also sends a message to the residents that they're less than and that they don't deserve a beautiful design as market rate buildings. And I have actually seen examples of affordable housing projects that are very well done. So it definitely can be done. I just don't want to sacrifice the design just because it's affordable.
Okay, I guess that the consensus right now and what I'm hearing is that...
Carlos, can I jump back in here for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm on page, I believe it's 73. Mm-hmm. There's a kind of a bluish number down in the lower right.
Yeah, the one that has the three options.
Yeah, it's got the three options, and then it's got that 120th going south view.
Yeah.
And there's option number two, where you've turned part of the building at an angle, and this is probably just a personal preference of age. but when I look at this, when you go from the west to the east, from the right to the left, there's a really long facade, and then you have kind of a strange element that pops out at you. And there's going to be some angular type things going on there that are kind of, I don't know, I wouldn't really call interesting. But when you go back to and you take a look at option three and you say, well, yeah, they've got upwards of 18-inch offsets, that's pretty darn much more, way more than what we have over at Totem Lake. When you take the main drive that goes through the center of everything that is the, is really the gully in between the buildings, there's not much modulation on those. And then you go to the west side and you look at the front of the Nordstrom rack and down through there. Yeah, you've got first floor doing a few things, but as you go up the sides of those buildings, you have very little modulation and much longer stretches of space. And so, when we're talking about this and we're saying, okay, over in Totem Lake, which is within reason, fairly recent time frame, this last development cycle, and then you come to this and you want deeper and broader and wider splits and modulation. And I'm just not sure I can support that. And I look at the formality of really kind of a three building setup here when you look at this concept three versus concept two. And concept two looks like it's kind of a, continuous long building that has a few things that, a few things that come out, but it appears to even be massively bigger to me than option two or option three. And so I look at it in massing scale. I feel, option three is more pedestrian, if you want to say it that way. And so I don't, I have a hard time supporting option two. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, sounds like, I mean, I hear Amy's and Brad's comments. At some point, the conversation leaned towards like, yeah, might be option three, but it requires more modulation. Now, just trying to unify kind of like everyone's comments, getting a general consensus. Do you think or would you feel comfortable going with option three, but requesting more modulation for at least the facades that are facing 120? Would that sound fair to the board? Because
it sounds good to me. I agree. I don't think at this point in time in the block diagrams that we have, we aren't at the point of, you know, finalizing selection of modulation and that. And I would say, yeah, I think option three with more modulations would be where I would go.
And some architectural features can be used as tools that can enhance or actually provoke this sense of different planes, different volumes. So at looking at this, as you said, Randall, I feel that it's option two, even though it kind of like plays with the volumes, still makes it look like a fairly large and massive building. And option three, yes, unfortunately, we are kind of like stuck with the flat facades. But there are like some treatments that can be done and that will be reviewed by the board on a subsequent meetings just to determine the final look and feel of this building. So I'm guessing that just asking Amy and Brad if it would be enough for you kind of like to look at option three, but as I said, requesting the applicant to provide more modulation, to study the pedestrian areas as well as the activation for those spaces, and to maybe incorporate some techniques that might push the building a little bit away from the Montessori school. I know that Randall, you said that maybe like the north building has an H shape, maybe pushing the center element more to farther or away from Montessori, make it look like a U shape, so it doesn't feel that massive as well from a perspective point whenever you are walking around there. Would you board feel more comfortable with that direction to the applicant?
Yep, Carlos, I actually am. I'm good with option three. You know, and I think that it would really help if they just provided a comparison of, you know, like Randall was saying, the existing buildings on Totem Lake Village actually are pretty big. And so, in fairness to them, I mean, I'm not going to require them to provide, smaller or more modulation when we've allowed, you know, I don't know, maybe are they 170 feet? And if they are, you know, then it's, you know, I'm okay with that, with the, you know, again, taking cues from what we have approved at Totem Lake Village.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we'll probably request whenever we progress through this process is more accurate plans depicting kind of like the adjacent tenants or adjacent properties, sorry. So how's the interaction with Montessori? How's the interaction with the other property at the south? I guess that a lighting scheme will also kind of like alleviate your concerns regarding how does the plaza interact with the pedestrians if it is well lit versus kind of like just hidden with the shade of the element. And I mean, personally, I feel that, and what I'm hearing right now is that option three with a more story about massing is required, or is kind of like something that we would like to ask the applicants, including pedestrian access, the study of how that's going to be implemented, more accurate plans depicting sidewalks, and further study on the materials and architectural elements that can mitigate the current concern that we have about having very long facades. Do you all agree with that?
So I concur, and also definitely looking at how they're mitigating, you know, to address the concerns of the adjacent property owner for the Montessori school, you know, as part of their landscape plan and site plan.
Right, right. Either like keeping the existing vegetation or studying some alternatives that can provide some privacy to the adjacent properties.
And Carlos, I don't know how the process works, but it looks like the applicant has their hands raised. Maybe they can provide us some information that will help us also give them more direction.
Yeah. Then typically this is the deliberation process for the DRB to just get the comments, but just based on the type of discussion we've been having, we are open to listen to your comments.
Excellent. Thanks, everybody. I just wanted to clarify just really quick on the modulation on those, on that long facade. I think I misspoke. The typical modulation was 18 inches, where we are breaking down in 3 points along that facade at a larger modulation, one at 3 feet and one at, I'm showing 5 foot or 4 foot five, kind of at a 70, a 42 and a 70 breakdown along that facade. So I just wanted to clear that up, that is the intent to step those a little bit more. So that was the only thing I wanted to mention.
All right, thank you. And John, do you have anything to say real quick?
I just wanted to mention too that the comment made about the quality and difference between affordable housing and market rate housing, I can't agree more in terms of we don't want residents or citizens to be able to distinguish our projects being affordable from any other market rate project. That is certainly the goal that we direct our design team. And I think I encouraged it the last time we met together, but we just completed and occupied a project in Estera Park. And I kind of dare anyone to go there and try to figure out which one is our affordable one based on the other couple thousand units that are in there made up around buildings. So certainly something we take to heart as well. And this building, once we get into design response, will reflect that goal that we have as well.
Thank you, John. Yes, we'll proceed with deliberation. So as to summarize, and board, let me know if this is how you feel. We are comfortable with option three, with the caveat that the applicant needs to provide additional modulation that will be presented in subsequent meetings. Additional modulation could be achieved by architectural features. A further study of the pedestrian access, including lighting for those covered areas, refined architectural plans that depict the pedestrian access, and include the adjacent properties for the board to understand the interaction between these development and the other properties and their relationship. privacy or, well, the landscape plan with the special emphasis on the area that is facing the Montessori property, and studying what options are preferred for maintaining privacy between properties. And Randall, maybe I think the applicant can also include a study on the approach of pushing back the north building, the H shape, basically the center more away from the Montessori property to provide some privacy, but as well to see how that looks in terms of scale. Am I missing anything, or do you guys want to add something else?
Pretty extensive list.
I covered it for me.
Well,
I think you know, as the applicant pointed out, they've got some areas where 3-4 almost 5 foot modulation now, and just capturing that in material and color differential and edging and that type of thing could even make it pop more. So I think I think your list is pretty comprehensive, and I think we just need to give them an idea of how they're supposed to present that.
That's kind of like a thing. So if I'm guessing that you captured the items that we just discussed, and I guess that the design this meeting is just to provide guidance to the applicant on what option we feel comfortable with, but as well to give them an idea of what we are looking for the next meeting, right? So with that being said, I guess that, as I said, building elevations, solar study, landscape plan, building plans with or floor plans with refined work of the pedestrian areas, as well as the connection with the adjacent properties.
And cross sections.
Yeah, cross sections depicting, if possible, the adjacent properties, understand kind of like the relationship that they have with these proposed development.
Yes, and Carlos, oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Carlos, I would like to see cross sections of the courtyards because I think they have courtyards at different levels. And, in terms of how, they relate to the, obviously the residential units, but also to the street. Yeah.
And then 3D modeling to better show the modulation.
Yeah, I'm guessing that we're going to see that because it seems that the applicant has prepared something like that, and or they have done some studies. So 3D modeling, and I guess that a material, their material board, just to understand or at least have an understanding of how the applicant is planning to start providing color texture to the building, and a side lighting plan as well.
Carlos, speaking of cross sections, the other area that I'd like to understand better is the edge of the building next to the the conservation area, or the NGPE, the Natural Growth Protection Area, because I can't tell from the massing whether they're actually going to have units all the way to the ground, or that's just the garage, and then the units will be further up, because, so I just wanted to know how close are those residential units to the edge of the you know, the green area.
Right, right. I'm guessing that with the refined floor plans, we're going to be able to identify the green belt easement and where the building footprint is located at. But still, if that's not clear enough, maybe we'll request the applicant to provide some sections showing the property line and where the easement ends and where the building starts.
Yes, that would be great.
Mm-hmm. But if do you need anything else from us, or was that clear enough?
That was a great list, everybody. You did most of my work for me. let's see. I just want to make sure. Is one question I have for the board is if you would like to see any particular vantages or perspectives or views at the pedestrian level. Obviously, in the meeting, the applicant will be able to pan around on their model, but should they capture any particular views in
Yeah, I think that 120, I guess that from both sides, from both corners. So we can take a look at what the building looks like from the public sides.
Also, some sort of views from the monastery or towards the monastery that gives some, you know, some site context as to how it ties into that particular building. And even if it's a stick frame, is really to look at more three-dimensional modeling of the, hate to say it, the gas station and then the strip mall behind it, just to see how this building kind of fits into the site and context with what is there, knowing that those probably won't be there that long. But again, you know, and really at the request of the Montessori School, they would like to see more contextual type deals. So we need the site plan to extend out more beyond the border and onto the other properties, just to see that better.
And I'm guessing that also we would like to see the elevations with levels. If the applicant is planning on doing some parapet design, so we can identify the maximum height of a building as well as other architectural elements, that'll be very welcome. Greatly appreciated.
Does the applicant have any questions or need for clarification?
Negative. Nope. That's a pretty complete list. I'll be busy. So nope. I appreciate it. Thanks for all of your input. It'll make it a much better project.
Thank you. All right. I guess that concludes the conceptual design conference. Now we'll continue with administrative reports. Poll for attendance for the next DRB meeting. We need to do that right now, Eve. Or John?
No. So the next meeting is June 20th. So in 2 weeks. And currently it does not show anything on the agenda, but I think Tony will have two items. Well, at least one item, potentially two items for that meeting. So we'll do the call around the week before as usual. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the projects is for the Tech City Bowl property in Bridal Trails. I think there's a mixed use development proposed for that. So yeah, more to follow. All right, a lot of different projects this year.
I know. You guys are trying to keep us busy.
Yeah.
They have revenge travel. Now we have revenge projects.
Thank you very much, John. All right. Would anyone would like to suggest an adjournment?
I would say that we adjourn.
A second.
Moved and second for adjournment. All those in favor say aye.
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 We are adjourned. Thank you very much for your time, and see everyone next time.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Good night.
Have a good night, everyone. Bye-bye.